Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, here we go with the spooky music.
Yeah, no, man.
I feel like this place is over there.
I guess the good news about this music is that it's going to be that music's really going to be screwed up when we do like a Mother's Day episode, you know? Nevertheless, welcome Pop Culture Stars. Today is 3/22/23. Hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. I'm your host, Dave Atwill, coming out of Jacksonville. Well, it's relatively chilly, not cold. It was 26 degrees when I got up yesterday morning. Yes, that's right, boys and girls, 26 degrees. And the good old days of planting in March is totally out the window. Do not plant anything until April if you're in the Carolinas. Yes, I said it, because every year we go through the full spring where first 2 weeks of March warm up, and then the last 2 or 3 weeks turn into a damn new ice age. So it continued on, but it feels all right out here. But it's been off and on with the sprinkling rain, so I might have to run quickly. So if you hear me hustling away, that's what I'm doing. Trying to get under a canopy, probably go around the front. But enough of my weather report. Go kick it around the room to my wonderful esteemed panel and buds, starting with that wonderful lady from the fantastic state of Arkansas, right there holding down Louisiana, propped up against Oklahoma. And what's that? Is that Mississippi to your right? Yeah, and leaning on Mississippi on the other direction. I passed my geography exam tonight. Granny Hulkster, what is happening?
Well, hello, Mr. Dave, and I'm glad to be back. And, yeah, we've been having kind of the weird chilly temperatures, too, in good old Arkansas. I mean, a couple of days last week, it was in the 20s, you know, at night, and in the 40s during the day, and some rain. And they say we're supposed to get some heavy rainstorms and possible flooding, which I hope not.
Yes.
But, you know, it is what it is. But I'm, you know, I think Mother Nature is on her bipolar medication or something, because, or somebody needs to give her some bipolar medication, because you don't want to fool Mother. You don't want to mess with Mother Nature. But, you know, this cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot. I mean, the other day it was, I mean, today was like in the 60s, but it was cloudy, you know. So, I mean, it wasn't cold, cold, but it was cloudy. And, you know, but I'm trying to recuperate from the last 3 weeks of getting my wonderful son moved, and him and Mysterio moved into their new little studio apartment at Holiday Island, Arkansas, which is about 10 miles north of Eureka Springs. And we used to live there, actually, when I moved to Arkansas. But the movers came and got his stuff Monday and what furniture he could keep. And because he's living basically in a studio apartment, which is the living area, hallway, closet, and a walk, you know, the bathroom with a walk-in shower. And basically that is his apartment. Now, the good thing is he goes right next door to the assisted living facility for his meals, snacks. Basically, he's still going to be independent, but he's going to be there if he needs help. There's 24/7 staff there, so it's in a, it's part of the assisted living facility, where actually where he's at. And I think it's going to be good for him. Now, his poor little dog has been so confused the last 3 weeks. I mean, poking heads in boxes, you know, wondering, what in the world are you doing, Daddy? When we took Anthony and Mysterio up there Saturday, we got ready to leave, and Mysterio's looking at me with those sad puppy dog eyes like, Grandma, you brought us up here. Why are we not leaving with you? And I looked at him. I said, Mysterio, this is your new home. And all of a sudden, he starts looking around like, oh, my God, you know. And they took the carpeting out, and they put, like, a tile floor to look like a hardwood floor, which is very nice. And they repainted it kind of a light blue, which is about the blue of his old apartment was. And my husband threw, he's got a C-3PO squeaky toy, and my husband, he threw it, and Mysterio goes running across the room. Thank goodness he didn't hit the wall, but he was sliding as he was running for a little way, you know. I mean, just like, you know. And, he, you know, but thank goodness he didn't crash into the wall. But needless to say, he was very happy to have me there Monday night to spend the night. We unpacked boxes till about 11:30. Anthony woke up about 3:30 to take him outside. Neither one of us could go back to sleep, so we started unpacking more. And I got home last night, you know, and I was ready to come home. So, you know, but I think it's going to be good for him. You know, I mean, it's going to be an adjustment for everybody, but I know that he's taken care of. And the nice thing is, he actually, one of the med techs that works there, he actually went to high school with. So, and a couple of guys that live there, he knows from when he was part of this program in Bentonville called the ACT program. So he knows some people there. So that's a good thing.
Oh, Granny, we're losing you, Granny. I don't know if you're on speaker or not. You might want to.
No, I'm not on speaker. I'm here. I can hear you.
You were fading in and out a little bit there. Go ahead. See if we can keep you on there.
I can hear, but I can hear you just fine. So.
Oh, you're good.
But anyways,
now. Yeah.
So, and you know, the sad note is my car was totaled. You know, unfortunately, but moving right along. So. Glad to be on, ready for a great show.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Good to hear that everybody got moved in. And, you know, I want to tell you, those facilities, my aunt, you know, my Uncle Charlie passed in March of 20, and they live in Cary, which is a nice place right outside of Raleigh here in North Carolina. And, you know, it's – and I get it. Uncle Charlie and Aunt Nancy had a big house there in Cary, and, you know, she's well into her 70s, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong on that. But, you know, you get lonely up there, and, you know, you're in the house that you shared with your spouse for all those years and everything. And, you know, it's sometimes keeping up with the grass and all that stuff that comes with home ownership is a bit overwhelming sometimes, and not even overwhelming. Sometimes you just get sick of caring about it. So she has moved to Wilmington, which is about 45 minutes, an hour from me. And it is they got a nice name for it. But anyhow, what it is that she has place. And I don't know if it's an apartment or actually a small two-bedroom house. I can't recall. But the way it works is the same way. She has no grass to cut. She has no trash. She takes the trash that she makes and sticks it outside of her door on certain days of the week. And people come by and pick it up. They cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner between certain periods of the day. And the chow is always running. So, in other words, there's no gaps where, you know, like you go from 9 to noon where there's nothing going on. Breakfast runs from like 05 until 1000, and then from 1000 to, you know, 1500, you got lunch, and then from 1500 to, say, you know, 2100, you have your dinners. So all she has to do is just get up, and walk right across. But she still has a kitchen unit, all that kind of stuff. So if she wants to cook her own stuff, she can. But, you know, she pays one fee a month, and water, light, cable, internet, rent, everything comes out of one payment. And, I mean, it's as simple as you can get, you know, and my folks were telling me about it, and I'm thinking, gosh, she's got to pay one bill a month. She ain't got to cut no damn grass. She ain't got to cook no damn meals. Like, where do
unfortunately, Anthony doesn't even have a little kitchen in his. I mean, they are going to get him a mini-sized refrigerator, but, you know, he gets his three meals every day, his snacks. They do therapy, group therapy sessions. They come and clean his apartment once a week. They do his laundry. You know, the cable is paid for. I mean, he pays for his internet. And, of course, the cell phone is his responsibility, but he doesn't own anything on his phone. So, basically, the phone is free, you know. And he just basically will have to, you know, what money he gets will, like, but they do outings and they go places, and they're right by the marina. They're right by Table Rock Lake, and he loves to fish. So when the nice weather comes, they go fishing a lot. And there's a walking trail where he can take Mysterio, and he got to keep, even if he'd been in the main facility, they were still going to let him keep Mysterio because there's a couple other people that live there that have little dogs. There's one lady that even lives there that has a cat named Lorenzo. So it's cool, you know.
Yeah, he'll get in there, and once he gets his feet wet, he'll get in there and get acclimated, and before you know it, he'll be palling around with people, and, yeah, he'll be fine. Yeah, I think he'll actually come along in something like that, because it takes a lot of the everyday worries that you have as a renter, homeowner, or whatever, you know, trying to get all that kind of stuff done. So, no. Wish them nothing but luck. You know, send them the best from all of us here at the show and everything. Because, yeah, I think
I'll have to post his address on our messenger page so you guys can send him a card or something. You know, and
yeah, man, be more than happy to. Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. So, Granny, I'm going to kick it over to the Northeast from you. Over to the potentially invading state of Indiana, and especially the capital of the nefarious state that may be invading here soon, according to that graphic I sent out a couple of months back. It's an inside joke, folks. So back to the city of Indianapolis and the outlying regions where the fences are now mended. And the heat is up and running, and the alpacas are back to doing nefarious acts behind our backs. Tim, how are you doing, brother?
I am outstanding to a glowing supernatural due to the water that's polluted, and ecstatic to be here beyond all belief. We are, you know, our weather report is about the same. We were really nice in the beginning of March. It was wonderful. It was like, wow, right on. Let's bring on spring. And then it dipped down to get cold. But, you know, by now I'm used to it. That's, I guess you could say that for most Midwestern states and extending beyond Midwest. But it does that. I mean, hell, we just had snow this last week. It got downright cold and windy. We're climbing back up. It looks nice. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say it looks nice. It's raining the rest of the week. But I think we're climbing up into the 50s, so it's coming, man. Spring is around the corner. Daffodils were even trying to bloom. They did bloom. I don't know what happens to them after that. I mean, they always survive and come back, so I guess somehow they can handle it. But they always push it, man, and they start blooming here quick. So I don't know. I don't know how they survive.
Yeah, Mike.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to a good show.
Yeah, man. Good to have you aboard. And, you know, of course, last week we played hooky last week. I say we played hooky. The truth was we were all ass deep, if not deeper, in life stuff. You know, Tim has some student stuff going on with his offspring, and then Grandy, of course, was making the move, and me, I had just I'm here to tell you, I have no idea what in the world. I went for a job interview, and the interview lasted 3 freaking hours, right? 3 hours. Wow. The interview went. And, you know, some people have the ability to kind of, you know, the lady who was doing the interview was kind of, you know, it was like 80% not about the job. But nevertheless, you can't just sit there and start beating on somebody's desk saying, get to the point, you know, when you're trying to apply for a position. So anyhow, I sat there for 3 hours, blah, blah, blah. She gave me all the information about background checks and when I've got to pee and all these kind of things. And I'm like, okay, all right, okay, good, good, good. So by the time I get to the house, I'm scrambling around and trying to get dinner on the table and all this other stuff. And I finally get the dust to settle, and I look, and we've got like 10 minutes before we go on the air. And we just made a command decision as a group to go ahead and call it a night, because Dr. John is currently involved in a move himself right now. So, yeah, we all played hooky last week. A little footnote to that whole interview story. Yesterday afternoon, or what's today? Today is Wednesday. It was Monday afternoon. I get an email from said place, and they said, we appreciate you going, but we are going to move forward with another candidate. And I was like, well, okay, that's fine. I'm not brokenhearted by any stretch of imagination, but damn, you took 3 hours of my damn life. And here I am, you know, even at $10 an hour, that's $30 damn, you know what I mean? I mean, it's like, yeah, you should at least wait. You
really?
Know, I know,
like,
it's,
you guys are getting paid while you're doing this interview, so why can't I get paid while we're doing this interview?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to tie somebody up for 3 hours, now, if I was in and out of an interview a half hour, then you ain't going to hear nothing out of me. But damn, son, they had me 3 freaking hours, and it was a dud job anyway. It was just something that was, you know, kind of holding over until the weather, so I could go ahead and, you know, get the pressure washing going again. But I was like, damn. So it totally screwed up my day that Wednesday. So, you know, we went ahead and eased off the gas and got some much needed business done around the houses and everything. So we are back tonight. It's good to be back. Funny the stuff with the jobs, though, with the whole workforce. I don't know what in God's name is going on with the work thing now. There is so much sketchy stuff going on out there and just craziness. And, man, I'll tell you, it's scary times, you know. And then you watch the skit this week after the banks tank out and everything, and it's like, wow. You got to wonder. But, yeah, it was something else. But nevertheless, you know, we got over it. Here we are back. Tim, I hope the concert went well, and I hope Kenny G trembled in his boots at your crowd's ability to play. What does your crowd play? What instruments they play?
It was, in both cases, it was a choir concert.
Oh, quack, very good. So they play their voices.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was just, it was like there wasn't enough time. Like, there was, you know, probably an hour or so between the concerts, but there wasn't enough time to really go and do anything. And so, and we kind of wanted to secure our, because it was in the exact same spot, exact same venue, over at the school. So, like, it was, they, for some reason, they chose the middle school, I want to say. No, we were at the intermediate school. Anyway, so, you know, both kids were there, and of course, both of them were like, can I go as soon as I'm done, you know? And it's like, no, you guys are going to stay for the entire damn thing. But it was two separate, completely separate concerts. We're not talking like, you know, one big performance and then they both went at different times. It was two completely different concerts. So we went in, sat in chairs, you know, Tanner went, they did great, of course, you know, then that whole concert was over. But, you know, again, like there wasn't really any time to like go anywhere. And plus Rachel had to report early for hers. So it's not like we could have taken her anywhere anyway. So she waited like 15, 20 minutes and then she went and reported to the room she had to go to. We all sit there and wait. And of course we get up and secure seats that are farther toward the front because this was in a gym. And then wait and wait, and then it starts. And, you know, I mean, and it, of course, she did great, too. I can't complain about being there. It's fun to see that. It's a pain in the rear to get there. It's a pain in the rear knowing you got to do it. I will be happy when I don't have to go to those anymore. But listening to them sing, you know, for those few minutes that they sing, it's kind of heartwarming. You can just kind of stop. You check yourself out of reality and embrace the music.
Yeah.
And it was really good. So, you know, that was fun. But nonetheless, I was not in any condition to do very well on a podcast that night.
I tell you what, you know, there are some nights when you just get so damn frazzled. And I don't know about you guys, but and if you guys were ever a cockroach on the wall here at the house, you would hear me say it. What is it about Wednesdays and Thursday mornings? I can guarantee you all the tea in China that if we move this podcast to Tuesday night, everything in this house would go batshit on Wednesday, on Tuesday nights. Or Wednesday
right.
Mornings. You know, it never seems to fail. You know, my dad-in-law, he's getting up there in age and everything, and he's got some health issues here and there. And I'll be damned if it's every Thursday morning is when it seemed like there for a bit, every Thursday morning. And I finally told Dale, I was like, good grief. I says, is this planned? I said, out of all the days, if there's one day that I actually need to kind of sleep in a little bit, it's Thursday morning, because Wednesday night, usually, you know, stay up a little later, have a couple drinks doing the podcast and everything. And it seems like every Thursday morning, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, you got somebody beating on the door. Hey, would you like to buy a security alarm? And I got four dogs barking like hell. I'm like, what do I need a security alarm for, dude? You know what I mean? It's
I got
like,
dogs.
Yeah. I've got 300 pounds of fur walking in this house. You ran six blocks away when you beat on the door and heard them bark. I don't need a security. Just keep going. Let me sleep, for God's sake. But it's funny how, I don't know about you guys, but it's like if there's one day a week that I can count everything going to hell, it's always Wednesday. And so, you know, you're scrambling to come in and get set up, and you're scrambling to find, you know, subject matter and all that kind of jazz. And it's like, good God, how in the hell does this seem to work? It's like some cosmic entity that's sitting somewhere just laughing their asses off at us every Wednesday night. You know, because I remember we used to do this show on Thursday nights, and when I was back in management, back, you know, it was between 2016 and 19, I remember telling them, you know, when they write the schedule out, I said, guys, I'll work any day you want me to. I'll work every freaking Sunday if you want me to. Just Thursday nights, make sure I'm home by 1,800 hours on Thursday nights because I do a podcast. And that was, of course, before you guys come along. And it was just me, Todd, and Dr. John. And they're like, yeah, Dave, no sweat, man. Thursday, nothing goes on here on Thursday. I will be damned if I didn't close every Thursday for like four solid months after I asked that. And I eventually had to do like what Todd's doing, just kind of step away from the show there for a little bit. And the person who writes the schedule says, hey, you know, are you still doing your podcast? I never hear you talking about it. I says, no, I don't do it because every Thursday night I got to be in here till last 30 at night. I says, and then they said, oh, it's Thursday night? I says, yes. So from that point, I only worked a couple, like, Thursday's an emergency situation, then Dr. John calls me up and goes, hey, I'm thinking about moving the show to Wednesday night. And I said, hot diggity damn, sounds like a damn plan right there, son. I am all aboard, because for something about Thursdays, these guys act like Thursdays are gold now, and I got to be here every Thursday night. So, yeah, so let's move it to Wednesday, so that way they can have their way with me on Thursday, and everything's good. And I will be damned if I start closing every Wednesday night.
Well, I'll
and
tell
I finally
you
went up to the boss
the...
lady, and I said, I love her to death. I said, hey, is there something against, you know, me doing this? Is there something you don't want me doing this podcast? She said, no, why? I said, you know, because we moved it to Wednesday, make it easier on you on the Thursdays, and now I'm closing every Wednesday, and I never work on a Thursday. What is this, you know, coincidence, or you just trying to get me in the ribs, you know? So, but yeah, I don't know about you guys, but if there's ever a birthday thing you have to be to, or you know, a day you get stuck in traffic or something like, it's always Wednesday, you know. And if something goes to hell at the house or work or something to that effect, it's always Thursday morning. I don't care what nobody says. Happens every damn week. I don't even need a calendar these days.
You talk about all the frustrations. I mean, that's like last Friday, you know, on St. Patrick's Day, Anthony and I, we go down to the apartment office, you know, to talk to the leasing office person, and he went down to give them, you know, his 30-day notice. Well, is he going to be out by March 31st? And I said, well, I don't know, but I said, he's not going to pay another month's rent for April, and he's not going to sign another year's lease because his lease was through when he moved in, he moved in on April 19th, you know, 2019. So she says, well, you know, there's a form you have to fill out and a termination fee, and he's going to have to pay another month's rent. And I said, no, he's not, because this is a medical necessity that he is having to move to this assisted living facility because he cannot take care of himself. Well, we have to contact the regional manager, and I have yet to hear back from her. But the funny thing was, I don't know who the other guy was with her Monday, but they've had 5 changes in apartment managers in 4 years that he's been there. And the gentleman was very nice to me. You know, he spoke to me, hello, how you doing? You know, you having a nice day. And, of course, just as they were coming in to talk to some people downstairs and upstairs, here comes the moving truck. Well, she knew, you know, so that wasn't a big surprise because she knew he was going to be moving. But not one word did she say to me about anything. And I had to go down there today because we got to get, you know, a few little things still out. You know, I mean, furniture-wise, everything's gone. I mean, what he took with him furniture-wise, he was able to get in this new little apartment. I had to get rid of the dining room table that I gave him, and he had a little gray love seat with the matching sectional that I gave to my friend's niece that took the table. She said, well, what are you going to do with that couch? And I said, well, I need to get rid of it. She said, well, I'll take it. So, and I said, okay, you can just put the table and the sectional, you know, whenever you can. I'm not worried about it because they're friends of mine, so I know I'll get some money for it. But it was like I got to thinking, I had this horrible thought in the back of my head, like she was so pissy about everything. I thought, oh, God, I hope they haven't went and changed the locks already. That's what I was afraid of. I thought, oh, God, the locks are going to be changed, and I'm not going to be able to get in there, you know, because I seriously doubt if he's even going to get his deposit back. I mean, just because when he lived in Rogers, you know, they knew that he was waiting for an apartment, and they forced him to sign another year's lease up there in Rogers, or they were going to kick him out on the street. So it's like, okay. But luckily, the locks have not been changed yet. I was able to still get in, you know. So we're going to get everything. We're going to get everything, just the little stuff that we have to get out, you know, and vacuuming the carpets really good, and I've got somebody coming in Saturday to clean the apartment. And I was gonna have a carpet company come in and clean and, you know, shampoo the carpets, and then I got to thinking, I thought, no, I'll just vacuum them really good because they're gonna do whatever they do, you know, when somebody moves out. And I thought, I'm not gonna pay that much money to get the carpet shampoo. I'll just vacuum it really good and call it good, because I have a sneaking suspicion that they're not going to give his deposit back. So I'm going to get a letter. I'm going to get a letter from the assisted living facility stating that he had to move because, you know, it being medically necessary. So we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah, that's now, Tim, I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure somewhere along the line, you've done some renting along the way, but you know, it used to piss me off all the time when I was renting, because we bought this house here in 99, and then we lived at my in-laws' house when they were overseas for a year, so I was doing the rental stuff up until like 97, I was doing rental, and several different places, you know, just moving around and whatnot. But it used to kill me, man, because, you know, you get a leaky faucet and you're like, well, let me get under there. You run the Lowe's, you buy yourself a pipe wrench, and you're okay, that's fixed, that's good, you know. And you go around and, you know, you see the tape coming away from the sheetrock, and you go over there and you mud it back in, you slap some paint on it and everything, and you're like, okay, that's good. And you go around and you just do these little nickel and dime nitpicky repairs throughout the whole time you're living in a rental. And then you go to move out, and then the rental agent shows up, you know, wearing damn swastikas and black and the whole nine yards. Let's see. What kind of place have you ruined in this rental here, Fräulein? I see this. This is stain. It's not a stain. It's where the vacuum made a track when I pulled it back and moved it forward. You know how you get that zigzag? He looks like a stain to me. You know, and it's like, yeah, I got a horrible Nazi accent. I guess that's a good thing. But, you know, for all the nickel and dime things that you would do to keep the place up, and then they come walking in there like you've been living like a hoarder for the last damn year, used to piss me off. And like Granny was alluding to, your deposit is almost like the lady tied on the railroad tracks. You know what I mean? It's kind of like,
well, here's a perfect example, guys. When he moved into his apartment in Rogers, 10 years ago, well, he was there 10 years. The carpet had cigarette burns. The carpet was stained. Not once did they ever replace that carpet in the 10 years that he was there. Well, his neighbor got his carpet taken out and had a tile floor put down to look like a hardwood floor. And when we ask about that, they said, oh, no, we can't do that. I said, well, why was his neighbor's floor done? And I forget the excuse that they gave me. But it was like he moved out. We had it cleaned. I had the carpet shampooed and everything. And they went and repainted the apartment. They took up that carpet and they put that tile floor down, looked like a hardwood floor, and they were going to charge him almost $1,975. And I said, for what? I said, he didn't destroy the carpet. It was already that way. It should have been replaced before he even moved in, and they never replaced it. Nobody, you know, and that place went through four or five apartment managers in the 10 years that he was there. So we didn't pay it. Well, it got sent to a collection agency in Florida. And I said, listen, I said, my son is disabled. He's mentally challenged. He does not work. He does not have $2,000 to pay. And neither do I, because I'm disabled and I don't work anymore either. Well, they so graciously cut it down to $1,500. Well, I went ahead and paid it just because, I mean, you know, he has no credit history in the first place, you know, but I just went ahead and paid it. But it was like, I had to make payments on it, but it was like, this is absolutely crazy, you know? And then, like I said, this leasing manager, she's like, well, is he going to be out by March 31st? And I said, well, I said, probably, but I said, I don't know, because I said, I don't know how soon we can, you know, we thought we were going to have to move him, you know, and by the grace of God, the direct facility actually hired a moving company, and she paid for it or the company paid for it. I don't know who paid for it, but somebody paid for it, and we didn't have to move him, which, you know, was a blessing, but I mean, it's crazy because people, you know, get so screwed over for various things, and it's horrible. You know, it's absolutely awful.
Yeah, there's got to be a lack of soul that comes with that that profession. I'm not going to throw shade on the whole profession, but I understand money's got to be made, but then there's sometimes when, especially around here with the military actually finally years ago put it on the real estate agencies here in Oslo County that said in the lease that you can break a lease at any given moment if you're in the military. Because they were hammering out. I mean, these guys would get transferred here and then get transferred somewhere else. You know, when you're a lance corporal, that kind of stuff, I mean, you never really stay in the same place for more than 15 minutes. And, you know, they'd rent a place out and be in it for 3 months and then get, you know, orders for 29 palms. And these real estate agencies were telling them they were on the hook for the rent for the rest of the year. You know, and you got some 23-year-old lance corporal. You know, he doesn't have a whole lot of life experience. So what is he doing? You know, he's $1,000 at these people to, air quotes, pay his lease through. In the meantime, he's gone. 2 days later, they got somebody else in that damn unit and paying rent too, so they're double dipping. And the base finally had to kind of hold sway on that and said that, you know, if you don't put this in a lease, we won't allow our Marines to rent from you. And, you know, that's kind of a death knell for any military town business right there when the Marine Corps puts you on the don't go list. So yeah, there's a lot of shady stuff, you know, that goes on with that.
Well,
now, Tim, I know you said that. Yeah, go ahead, Grant.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Oh, no, I was just going to say real quick, it's like, you know, this apartment complex that he lived in Springdale, you know, people have been moving out in the middle of the night and just up and leaving, I mean, just, you know, gone. I mean, they have a laundry room facility, but they've had it locked up. They claim that the washers and dryers don't work. That's why they have it locked up. So people have to go to a laundromat to do their laundry because there's no washer-dryer hookup in these apartments, you know, to have a washer and dryer. And, you know, it's just like, I mean, when he first moved in, I mean, it was a really decent place to live, and the rent wasn't that high, even though he was on HUD, you know, the rent wasn't that high. Well, now, just like, all of a sudden, just like, everybody, you know, the place is getting run down, nobody cares, I mean, trash everywhere, I mean, police showing up all hours of the night, you know. I mean, and not once did he ever, he never complained about the noise of people upstairs. He always paid his rent on time. He never caused problems. But I told her, I said, I guarantee if he had not given you a 30-day notice like he is supposed to do, you would have come down on him so hard and threatened him with whatever because you don't care. Oh, no, we wouldn't have done that. I said, yes, you would have. Don't sit there and lie to me because I know different. I know better. And,
right.
You know, and I thought to myself, well, it's no – I told David the other day, I said, it's no wonder these people are leaving in the middle of the night and just up and packing and just moving out without telling anybody.
Yeah, you almost have to fight fire with fire when it comes down to that kind of stuff. And it's a shame you got to kind of lower your standard to doing that. But, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes the powers that be force you into that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's a shame that it gets that way. But I'm telling you, the stuff that I see now, I'm just glad that I bought my house. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, we all know my house is collapsing as we speak. But nevertheless, it's good to know that it's mine. And if it's a pile of rubble when I wake up tomorrow morning, that's my rubble. And I don't have to worry about somebody. Because, you know, when I rented, it was always one of those things where if I saw something going wrong, I would either attend to it myself or immediately call the rental agent. But then when you call the rental agent, you're on pins and needles, dude. Because you're worried that whatever is going wrong is going to damage something in that place. And somehow or another, you're going to be carrying the blame for it. And like I said, you know, some of these guys, man, they have no soul. And they're all about that money and looking good on paper for the realtors. And, yeah, it's sketchy as hell. But, Tim, I know you've done some rental stuff in the past, young man. What kind of horror stories do you have?
So what's funny is the first place, well, I guess I shouldn't say the first place technically. Like, I stayed in college, and, man, I tore that place up. In fact, just within the last maybe 5 to 10 years, I took Kim back to show her, you know, where I used to stomp around in my college days, and I showed her. I was like, look, that's the apartment building. It wasn't like a complex, so traditional. It was in like a house that was kind of repurposed, if you will, and made several tiny, tiny apartments that were like these little studios that they weren't that big, but it served the purpose. You know, it was better than living in a dorm room. But anyway, I went back and come to find out, I found like a greenskeeper. And I went up to him, I approached him, and I said, hey, I said, you know, I used to live here back 97, 98 time period, and, you know, what's his face was my landlord. Is he still the one that owns this? He goes, oh, yeah. And I said, so is it still, you know, college kids? He says, no, no. He started laughing, and he said, he's done with the college kids. He only rents to the locals around here. So understandably, and I think I probably had something to do with that, messed up the carpet real bad. My parents didn't get their deposit back. That was all on me. But then going to my first actual, you know, grown-up apartment that I had when I was 21, I had not a problem there. And that one, it wasn't a complex. And, you know, it was funny. Back in that day, my rent was only about four. I had a one-bedroom, one-bathroom. I was on the second floor. My deck overlooked a pond. I was on the north side of Indy in a nicer area, and I was only paying like maybe $475 a month. And when I left, you know, it was funny because I left because I wanted to try to buy a house. My mom kept telling me, if you're going to dump your money on rent, why don't you just, you know, try to buy a house? Of course, that's, we all
right.
know that's easier said than done. You know, for those that can manage to do it, then great. And she's right, you know, but it is a pain in the butt. So but what was funny is I went to the office. I went to the office, let them know. I'm like, you know, but it was funny. I felt like I was breaking up with a girlfriend. And I don't know if it's because the lady happened to work in the complex was rather attractive or not, but I felt like nervous going there to tell them I was going to sever ties, you know. It's like I'm going in there with my Dear John letter. But I was kind of shaky, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to end up, you know, cutting my lease off. And they're like, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah, I'm, you know,
I love living here, but I'll be looking for a house. I'm like, oh, cool, good deal. But there was not. It was the smoothest exit. They helped me out because I had no it was worse than having bad credit. I had no credit. I had no credit cards, no loans outstanding or anything, so I had zero credit. It was non-existent, and they helped me out, and they were like, well, we'll write you a letter saying that you paid your rent. You paid it on time every single month you were here for the 2 years. So good on you. We got you a letter, so that helped. You know, I got in, and I didn't really bang the place up anyway. I mean, I put walls in with hanging stuff up and everything, and I may have done a couple of nicks, but you know, they were like, don't worry about it. You know, we go in there, repaint the place, smooth it out. If it's something we can do within a couple hours, you're not going to have any worries at all. I'm like, oh, sweet. Never had to worry about it. Got my full refund back. It was great. Now, fast forward to being with Kim and the older kids. And then we kind of, before we bought a house in Westfield, we bounced from an apartment to a house, to another house in Westfield paying rent. And, man, they're all a pain in the rear. Those people, kind of like you said, they walk in with their, you know, white, putting on the white glove for inspection. They docked me money from the last house that we ever rented. They docked us money because the damn oven hadn't been cleaned out to their liking, and there was a return vent that had cobwebs on it, a return vent up in the ceiling that I very, very rarely looked at. And they freaking docked me for that. I wanted to go in there and just give them a few $100 and say, look, if I knew you were that hard up for money, you know, I would have just put it out on the table for you. Here you go. You don't have to mess with the BS of going around and inspecting everything, because I know damn well that didn't cost somebody the money that you took away from me to clean out the damn vent up above us. We were kind of ticked off about that one. But, you know, so yeah, I've been there, done that. I've had good experiences, bad. There's pros and cons to both lifestyles. Proud homeowner now, but, you know, we all know shit breaks, hits the fan, whatever. You're calling, You guys know from me, complaining from a year or two ago with that tree falling on our house. You know, there's no, you don't just call someone up and go, hey, got a problem out here, I need you to come out here and fix it. You know, it's on you. It's on your dime.
Yeah, you're
still willing.
Yeah.
Soften something up. Oh, yeah. What was funny, though, is back to your point, you were talking about making updates to your places, your rent. And this goes back to the place where they robbed me because I didn't clean out the oven, clean off the vent, whatever. And what I forgot to do, and I thought they were going to just go ahead and be cool about everything with the deposit, because I replaced their damn doorbell. The doorbell didn't work, and I went and I kind of did a couple of troubleshooting things, and I thought, you know what, I think it just needs a new doorbell or some piece to it, whatever. So I went and I got a contractor grade, whatever, put it in there, installed it. It wasn't any big deal, but I did it. And I let them know I did it, you know, because I didn't want to piss anybody off. And they were like, yeah, this thing under your seat, you know, we'll settle up later, whatever. Not a thing about it. I never got any money for it. I mean, I didn't care, but it's like, really? You're going to do that to me, and then you're going to take further money because I didn't clean off a return vent. So those people didn't get very many high marks. And that wasn't a single person renting to us. That was an actual LLC, you know, property management group is what they were.
Yeah.
So,
I've
noticed
that those are usually the worst ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, they would come in and do inspections too. And they would patronize you, give you this bullshit thing about, oh, we just need to come through and look at the place from a structural standpoint. Bull crap. You come in there and look around and be sure we're not destroying the place or cooking up meth anywhere. And that's what they would do. And it was so awkward. We were so glad to be done with that.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
like before I bought my house in 2001, Anthony and I lived in an apartment in Springdale. And it was 2009 when we had the big ice storm, and I was still working for Walmart, you know, and he had taken the trash out to the dumpster for me. Well, he was walking back and he slipped on the ice and literally had to crawl in to get in our apartment. Well, I get home that night and his ankle was about the size of a goose egg. I mean, it was horrible. I had to take him to the emergency room. He ended up breaking his ankle in three places, almost shattered his ankle bone. So one day I'm like cleaning off the sidewalk because he was on crutches. And there was still ice and snow on the grass, so you couldn't very well walk in the grass, you know, with crutches, with ice and snow there. And the apartment manager's husband comes down and says, "What in the hell are you doing?" I said, "What does it look like I'm doing? I'm cleaning my sidewalk off because my son fell and broke his ankle, and he's on crutches." "Well, what was he doing? Was he doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing?" I said, "For your information, sir, he was taking out the trash, and he fell on the sidewalk on the ice and broke his ankle." "Well, I'm going to call the police." I said, "For what?" I said, "You should be doing this." "Oh, well, we can't do that because if somebody slips and falls, we could get sued." And I said, "Well, somebody did slip and fall. My son did." And he's, and I said, "You know what?" I said, "I dare you. You go ahead and call the Springdale Police Department." I said, "I know practically every officer that works on the police force for Springdale." I said, "You go ahead and I double dare you to call him." He never called him, but it was like, are you serious? You know, I mean, like, people are so ignorant.
Yeah, I lucked out the first, when me and my first wife, and I'll have to tell you all the drunk story about me passing out in my landlady's front yard one night. I'll tell you all that on a different show one night. It's not, it wasn't funny then, but it's funny now, but nevertheless. When me and my ex-wife got our first, like, house, because the first place we stayed in was a trailer, and God knows, it was like Ren and Stimpy the whole way, dude. I mean, it had no heat. I remember the toilet water froze. I went to take a piss one morning, and the water, you know, piss just went everywhere. It's because I was pissing on ice. And that's how cold the thing got. But when we got the duplex, we went through a local realty company. And nice little duplex, two-bedroom place. And I had my lab, Cleo, and she... We rented out an apartment first, right after the trailer. We rented out an apartment, and when she brought Cleo home, I was like, "We got to get out of this apartment because we're not supposed to have pets." And that's when we moved into this duplex. So duplex was in a, you know, nice little neighborhood at the time. It's the projects now, but back in the early 90s, it was pretty nice. And got in there. As things go, we end up splitting up sometime later on. And it was just me and my lab in there because, without going into the gory details, the house got cleaned out when I was at work. And so did the bank account. And back in those days, you know, back in 92, you remember you used to sit down at a table and you'd have your little checkbook registry thing. And you'd write the checks out, you put them in the envelopes, and you put stamps on there, and you put them in the mail. You know, you'd have that wad of mail that you put in the mailbox every day, you know, once a month. And it would be lights, cable, rent, insurance, water, phone, you know. So, anyhow, again, without going into the gory details, don't want to be incriminating. It was 30-some-odd years ago. All unbounced because all the money in the account got poofed. So I go to the real estate agent, and he, the guy who was in charge of the rentals, was the son of the real estate place. So I went up to him. I said, "Hey, man, here's what's going on. I am totally mortified, X, Y, and Z." And he says, "Man," he says, "you think you're the only guy in Jacksonville who's going through a divorce?" He says, "Don't worry about it, man." He says, "How soon can you get the rent to me?" And I said, "Day after tomorrow, I get paid, I will be here, and I'll pay the check fee or whatever." He goes, "Don't worry about that stuff." He says, "Just pay me your rent, and everything will be good." I said, "All right, cool, man. I appreciate that." So over time, Cleo one day got a little upset, I guess, got a little anxiety stricken when I was working one of my famous 20-hour days, and ate the bedroom door. I mean, ate the damn door. The bottom left-hand corner of the door was gone. And I was like, "Well, there goes my deposit. Hot damn, you know." So anyhow, fast forward a little further, and it is this time of the year, and my roommate and I were watching because I ended up getting a roommate who ended up, you know, being my roommate for 3 years. Fantastic guy. Love him to death. We're watching the final, the college basketball final. And about 9:30 in the evening, I get a call. And like I said, 9:30 in the evening, I get a call. I'm not going to use the guy's name because he's still in real estate here in Onslow County, believe it or not. He calls and says, "We sold the house. How soon can you be out?" And I was like, not tomorrow, cuz. And I hang the phone up because I'm thinking it's somebody I know. Because back in the early 90s, that used to be some good times, right? Phone pranking your buddy because you didn't know who you were calling. You didn't have caller ID, right? You know, you just picked the damn phone up. So anyhow, I go to work the next day, and I said, okay, this Aspect City worked for Century 21. So let me just, I get the Yellow Pages out, and I call one of the Century 21 agencies here in Onslow County, and I asked for him. They said, oh, no, he works at the other one. And I went, oh, shit, so this guy's real. Okay. So I called my roommate up, and I says, apparently this guy's real. I said, I'm going to call this other agency and see if I can talk to the guy. So my roommate says, well, man, why don't you call up Jeff, was the guy's name, you know, at our place and find out what he knows. And I said, yeah, that's a good call. So I called him up, and Jeff says, I don't know anything about your unit being sold. I says, okay. I said, but here's the guy. And he goes, yeah, I know who you're talking about, and I know the Century 21, and I know the guy who owns that Century 21. You want to give me a couple minutes, and I'll call you back. You at work? And I said, yes, sir. Called me back a couple minutes later. He says, yeah, bigger than shit. He says, the house has been sold. He said, me as a renting agent, I am supposed to know these things at least 30 days out by law. And I was like, well, okay, dude, so what do I do now? He goes, well, we got to find you another place. He says, I'll help you with that. And I says, cool, so do I need to, like, go rent a van tonight and just start throwing stuff in the back of it? And he goes, hell no. You got 30 days, and you're going to use every day of it. Right. I was like, okay. So oddly enough, there was a duplex just like the one we were in across the street. I mean, actually, literally, whap, across the street. So I told a couple of my baggers and stockers at my store, I said, hey, man, beer and pizza if you guys help me and my roommate hump our stuff across the street. They said, no problem, it's that will. So we moved everything except for one chair. And we did it like 3 or 4 hours, you know. We moved everything except for one chair. And we left that chair in there, and that real estate agent would call me every other day asking me if we had moved out. And I kept saying, no, we're not quite there yet. Not quite there yet. Knowing that this one fold-up chair was still sitting in the damn house. And so anyhow, we had about 2 days left, and I call up Jeff. And I said, hey, man, I guess my deposit's gone, you know, because, you know, my dog ate that door and everything. He says, the hell with that door and the hell with it. He's already transferred your deposit to the new place. I ain't worried about that door. He said, they sold that house out from under me just like they sold it out from under you. He says, their problem now, they bought the goddamn place.
Nice.
I'm like, well, all right, cool. So, of course, you know, that just incentivized me and my roommate to be that much better tenants. And then, of course, we moved from that place to our two-story place that I had when you know, me and Dale got together and everything, and we stuck with Jeff for the up until when my roommate got married, and you know, me and Dale ran off. But we rented a place in '98. Dale and I did, and it was totally different experience, man. We had people snooping around the house all the time. I would come home from work, and I'd see a car. And where it lived, it was road frontage. So you had to drive like a full, about 100 yards through the woods into this opening where there was like 3 acres worth of opening, and the house was in the center of it. And I'd pull up and I'd see a car there, and I'm like, it must be one of Dale's crowd, you know, thinking it's one of her friends from work. And then I look, I don't see Dale's car, and I'm like, okay, what's going on here? So, you know, getting out of the truck, and there's somebody walking around the property. It's like, can I help you? Yeah, we're just here doing an inspection. I don't give a shit what you're doing. Who, first off, who are you? And, we're from so-and-so Reynolds. Oh, okay, well, do you have a card? Yeah, just, you know, out of curiosity. Oh, yeah. You know, instead of them walking up to me saying, hi, my name's so-and-so from so-and-so Reynolds, here's my card, I had to ask them. And then the lady who owned the house would periodically show up out of the blue. And, I mean, it was all hours of the day and night. You know, there were times we were eating dinner, and she would bang on the door when we were eating dinner. And she didn't even live. She lived, like, on the other side of the county. And it was strange, man. It was just odd. And, I mean, like I said, she would call periodically and just, like, call out of nowhere. And I'm, you know, how's the house? I'm like, fine. Something, is there something I should know? No, I'm just calling to see how house this. I'm like, okay. No, it's good here. Thanks, you know. Eventually, she decided to sell the thing, right? Well, we liked the property that was on, and we weren't real particular about the house itself, but, we, you know, like I told Dale, I says, you know, if we get the property and eventually we can just get rid of this house, build a new house on the property and live happily ever after, you know? And so went to the lady and I says, you know, how much you ask? She says, I'm asking X. I said, okay, well, we'll do Y. Just like you do when you buy a house. You always do the, you know, offer, counter offer, counter offer thing. And she says, no, I think we can get more. I'm going to sell the house. I said, okay. Well, they put a lockbox on the door. And I said, okay, well, if you're going to put a lockbox, guys, bear in mind that I have a dog. Okay? And they says, I says, is there any way you can call prior to you showing the house? You know, because see, you walk into a damn somebody's house and the dog's in there. What the dog's going to do its job, no matter whether it's damn Yorkie or a damn Rottweiler, it's going to do its job. It's going to protect its home, right? So they say, yeah, we'll call you. Well, I was working 50 minutes away from home, county. I was managing a different food line at the time. And I would get phone calls. And you got to remember, this is 98. So this is kind of the infancy of cell phones, you know, where you used to play Worm on it and that kind of stuff. And they would call and say, oh, well, we're on your porch. How soon can you be here? I was like, Christ almighty, I'm an hour away, folks. You know, it's like, I can't just drop what I'm doing and haul ass. I'm the only manager here. I can't leave my building. We have to get in. So anyhow, it got to a point where we had people walking in and out of our house all hours of the day. And there was one time when me and Dale were pulling a nooner, and you know, we had run leases before Rob was born. We had run lease off school, and we both had the day off, and I was like, we got the house all to ourselves. Let's knock something out real quick. And next thing we know, we hear voices. Like, you know, you're in mid-stroke. You're giving it all you got, and you're like, did you hear that? And bigger than anything, there was a real estate agent and two people, and they were trying to show the house with me and my future wife getting it on in the bedroom next door. And I came out and I said, okay, yeah, enough's enough. And that's when we found this house. And a week later, we just said, up yours, moved out of there. almost overnight, we just moved the hell out of there, moved here. About a month after we moved here, the lady who owned that house called us up and said, "Hey, you remember that offer you made month before last?" I said, "Yeah." She said, you know, I was talking to my husband about it, and we figure we just go ahead and accept your offer." I said, "Tough debts. We've already bought a house. We're doing fine. You could take my offer. You could take your house, and you could pound it right in your ass, because what you did to us was just totally uncalled for. And go to hell. Take care of yourself, flick." And hung the phone up. And I recall that Century 21 sign sitting out on the road for months afterwards. And every time I drive by it, I just laugh like hell for what they put us through. But, yeah, I don't miss that stuff at all, because it's just it is such a dirty and when you're living in a house, you're living in a house. Let's face it, guys. Yeah, it just there's not one of us that doesn't scramble when the mother-in-law is coming over. You know what I mean? Because when it's your home, everybody has that basket or that stack of mail somewhere in their kitchen or office. You know what I mean? Everybody's just got that pile of mail. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody has dishes in the sink. Everybody has some dirty baseboards or a dusty ceiling fan or something of that effect. You know what I mean? And, yeah, I understand. It's kind of funny how it seemed like they used to hammer it. The guys who kept their yards tight and kept their cars clean and everything, it seemed like they always badgered those kind of people more than they badgered the hoarders. So, yeah, it's a slippery slope. And hopefully, you know, and the thing of it is, Granny, what you got to kind of do, unfortunately, is you just kind of got to go in with the conceived notion that that deposit is toast. And in the event
you get
12 cents.
I know.
Yeah. And it just sucks, man, because that's money. You know, that's.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's damn $1.17 or 17 grand. It's still freaking money, you know?
That's right.
And it'd be different if they were going to be out of something. And that's something that, you know, I would be quick to say. If I thought for one minute that somebody was going to be out of luck on something that I did, then I would be the guy that would take the high road and say, "Hey, look, here's what I'm going to do. Since I'm bolting on the 10th, and creating an inconvenience for you, I am going to pay all the way through to the 31st, just as a goodwill thing." But knowing damn full and well that they're going to have somebody in that place paying the rent for that month before the damn shampoo even dries on the carpets, you know, it's a double dip for them.
Well, and here's the situation too, Dave, you know, and Tim, is – a lot of those apartments are, like, totally empty right now. And
really?
When we were trying to get help for Anthony, you know, to somebody come in so he could stay in his apartment, you know, the doctor, his primary care doctor, even wrote a letter, two letters, stating that he either needed to have a full-time caregiver or he needed to be in a, you know, assisted living facility place like he is now, just because, you know, he's diabetic, he doesn't take that great care of himself. You know, he got depressed. He got frustrated. He wasn't sleeping. He wasn't becoming a danger to himself. And HUD was willing to get him a voucher for a two-bedroom apartment. Well, the last apartment manager they had, they said, "Well, we can't do that because those apartments are for veterans only." And I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, I'm all for helping a veteran. You know, I have no problem helping a veteran out. You know, I'm all for that. But they never got him into a two-bedroom apartment because they kept making excuses. They kept just beating around the bush. And then they started saying, oh, well, these certain apartments are only for veterans only. I mean, they were, like, discriminating against him because he wasn't a veteran. And I'm like, okay, but if he has to have a full-time caregiver, and if that person has to stay with him for whatever reason, they need their own bedroom, you know, instead of just sleeping on the living room sofa, you know? I mean, just the way that it is, you know? And they never got him in a two-bedroom apartment. And, you know, so it's like, it was just unreal, you know, how downhill, and it was probably, I'd say they remodeled this apartment complex 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, they did a total remodel on the whole thing. Now, I know 2 years, well, it's been almost 3 years now, but the apartment, the one building section next to the building that my son lived in, two of those units caught on fire one morning, right around the first of the year, you know, and I don't even know if those two apartments have been completely, you know, remodeled or whatever, you know, but when you would go to ask a question about something, they'd say, well, you know, corporate knows about this. I mean, in there for a while, the grass wasn't getting cut. And it was like, you know, it looked like a field because the grass was getting so hot. Well, corporate's not paying the lawn company, so they quit. And that they quit mowing the lawn. I mean, they were just, it was just excuse after excuse after excuse, you know, that they were giving. And it just finally got to the point where, like, okay, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
And then she comes up to me. Yeah, and then she comes up to me. And granted, the leasing office person has basically had to learn to do everything by herself, no training, whatever. Okay, I get that. But when you have a mentally challenged adult, who 75-80% of the time does not have the mentality of a 36-year-old adult, and they're making poor choices or they're making poor decisions because they're depressed, they're frustrated, their anxiety level is like way out there in space, and they cannot properly take care of themselves. You know, they have health issues. And they're making it difficult. Well, it's kind of like when I was talking to the people, you know, on the phone call here recently, you know, about Anthony. He didn't want to be on the phone call that day because this was after he was just going through all the frustrations of everything. And the guy kept throwing in my face, well, he's his own guardian. You know, there's a difference between power of attorney and guardianship. And I'm like, I finally said to them, I said, okay, I know everything that you're saying. I said, but obviously my opinion must not matter to you. But I said, I'm not going to sit by and watch him become a danger to himself. And they said, well, we're not asking you to do that. I said, then what are you asking me? Because everything that you're saying, I already know. Number two, you know, my opinion obviously does not matter. I said, I know I'm nobody important. I said, after all, I'm only his mother, you know. And when the guy from Little Rock gets on he's on the phone, he says, well, he really needs to be on these phone calls. And they were telling me that I couldn't force him to do this. I couldn't force him to do that. I would have to prove that he was mentally incompetent, all this other crap.
Yeah,
I just threw it back in his face. I just threw it back in his face. And I said, you can't force him to be on these phone calls. And I'm sure he did not like that. And by that time, I really didn't care. I mean, I ended up getting off the call before it was over with because I'd had enough.
So pissed,
and I'm like, Well, you know, because, I mean, they're like, and like I told my husband, I said, they don't want the legality of him hurting himself or doing something to himself. And if he did do something to himself, they would either blame him or they would come back and blame me because I didn't get him the help that he needed. But yet I was trying to get him the help. The state of Arkansas kept denying the Medicaid waiver because they said the autism wasn't recognized before the age of 22. Well, he was one of those kids that unfortunately slipped through the cracks, you know?
Right.
And, but yet they're blaming me because, and I told them, I said, and don't any of you dare come back and ever say to me, oh, I'm sorry, we should have done something sooner before it was too late. Because you say that to me, there's going to be problems. This mama bear is going to come. This mama bear is going to be coming out of the corner fighting and clawing her way out of the corner because I'm protecting my child. No matter if he is 36 years old, I'm protecting my child.
No, that's what you
and
do.
I don't want to see. I don't want to see him hurt. But then you have this wonderful justice system that we supposedly have, which is not so wonderful. You know, they don't care that Anthony can't take care of himself. They don't care that he's not capable of preparing a healthy meal for himself because he's a borderline diabetic. They don't care any of it. They don't care nothing about that.
No. No, and you can't expect it to happen either because, you know, it's just a number. That's unfortunately how things are going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, Granny, I'm going to have to grab you right here, dear, because we are at that mark.
Yes, we
and
are.
We've got probably about, I know it, this thing went by quick, man. So we're looking at about 7 minutes to kick it around the room for all three of us. So I'm going to buzz it around real quick, like, to all of us. And good show tonight, regardless. It's funny how we can carry 90 minutes on.
Well, you know, we were trying to figure out, we're talking to the green room, we didn't have no topic. But basically, our topic was covered about the way our system works.
Well, yeah.
Doesn't work,
yeah.
Right? You know?
What we
so it
worked out. I'm sure there's folks out there listening that are like, yep, been through the same thing, you know. So, Granny, I'm going to start with you on the parting shots, dear. Go right on ahead.
Well, I just hope everybody has a great rest of the week and be kind to each other and stay safe and just, you know, love one another. And I was just glad to be able to be on and to have another great show with you guys.
Yeah, it was great having you aboard. Appreciate you joining us. It was good to be back after a week absence. And yeah, and you know, wish Anthony the best again from us here at the show, you know, and moving on to his new place. I'm sure he'll do fantastic and probably blossom because of the move. But yeah, send him and tell him, let him know we're all thinking about him and sending him a good thought his way. All right?
I will.
Timothy, what kind of parting shots do you got, young man?
Well, another week goes by and I don't have much exciting to say. You already heard the spiel about my concerts, my kids' concerts last week. We are birthday heavy this month. Rachel celebrated a birthday Monday. My wife Kim's got one coming up this next Monday. Shout out to her. And
happy
I don't
birthday.
Think she's listening. Yeah. Unless she's creeping in the background here, I don't think she's listening. So it's safe to say I, for the first time in my life, am going to attempt to order flowers for her that should be delivered at work on her birthday. So a bit of a covert operation. I don't expect it to be too difficult. Maybe it makes me a pathetic husband, but this is the first time I've ever called and tried to get flowers sent somewhere like that. So we'll see how that goes. And then, you know, a couple of the things lined up. She's wanting to continue the celebration on spring break, which is that following week. So that'll be fun. Just looking forward to springtime, whole lot of action here in the Armstrong household. I know we're short on time. I'm going to go ahead and kick it back over to you. Had a great time tonight.
Yeah, most definitely. And pass on the big happy birthday wishes on our behalf, too, man, because, I mean, you know, they're family just the same. And, yeah, pass on the big happy birthday. And, of course, we'll say happy birthday again next week because, you know, that's what we do here. But, Tim, it's great to have you aboard this evening. Thank you for joining us. Good to have you here. Like I said, good to be back. And real quick for us, the on a personal level, on a professional level, better yet, the Port City Comic Con went very well on March 11th, and Mean Mark Asher was on the board.
How that was.
Yeah, well, Bagwell was in and out. I think he was there maybe like 2 hours, and I was busy at my table, never got a chance to get over there, and it was like I saw, finally got him a minute, and it went poof, and I looked over, and I said, well, I got to get over and see Bagwell, and he was already gone. So those things happen at cons, you know, for another show, the Con Survival Guide we've talked about doing 100 times on the show, never have. But, yeah, Miss Bagwell, but, I mean, the good news is it was busy enough to keep me at my table and keep me tied up, which is good. Because when you're on that side of the table, it's all about engagement and not grab assing. So, yeah, I'm sure I'll cross buff on another show, cross paths somewhere else. But the show was a success, and Mean Mark is throwing another show, another Port City Comic Con. I believe it's June 10th in Wilmington. So we'll be... we'll be getting Mark back on here to shoot the breeze about that and everything. And he's a good old guy, so it'd be good to have him back on a couple times prior to that. But, yeah, everything went well. And
yeah,
met some new people.
He actually sent me an invite to the event. And unfortunately, you know, with me being in Arkansas, I wouldn't be able to make it. But, yeah, it was very thoughtful of him to think of Granny and send me an invite. So.
Yeah, he's good people, man. He's a good guy. I'm impressed. And, like I said, you know, looking forward to working with them again here in June, which is right around the corner, believe it or not, and doing another show in Wilmington. So, you know, more success. Now, on a personal level, real quick, like, this same date, about 12:30 in the afternoon, 1993, I got a phone call at work. And it was a guy I work with, and when I answered the phone, he said, hey, did you get the news? And I said, get news about what? And it was at that very moment that I had found out that my best friend, Charlie Barber, was no longer with us. And, yeah, at 33 years old, I put my best friend in the ground, and it was a tough day. 20 years later, still sucks. Doesn't repair itself. Doesn't get better. Time doesn't heal. Don't mean to be a downer. But if you got to glean good out of it, I'm going to tell you that is a good thing because Charlie left this place in better shape than he got it in. And I can tell you his passing helped me get my head out of my ass as an angry young 33-year-old guy. And I finally started looking at life through a different way and thinking to myself, wow. You know, what I got here is good. What I got here is precious. You know, I need to quit being mad all the time. And if it wasn't for his passing, God knows where I'd be. And so 20 years ago today, Charlie, you are missed, my brother, and you always will be. And I will see you, I'll say soon, but hopefully not too soon. I still got some stuff I got to do here before I check out. But, yeah, 20 years ago, man, I still remember the song that was playing on my oddly enough, I was playing Eric Clapton's Greatest Hits album, and River of Tears was playing when I got the phone call. It's funny how you remember these things. But, yeah, so 20 years ago today, my brother Charlie Barber, he's gone to the Lord. And I know he did, because some of the last things that he said to his mom was that I'm surrounded by angels. So, you know, I've spoken about him on the show here before, how he was one of the reasons why I believe now. And I didn't believe prior to that. And since his passing and seeing some of the things that have happened since then, I'm a believer. And it's all because of him. So it's good to know you got an angel on your shoulder, no matter how you look at it. So with all that, I'm going to shuffle into Atwell Manor here. And hope Spectrum Internet has graced us with some decent internet. If not, I'll do the manual shut off, and we'll have Tim do the British lady for us. That he so great, awesomely did. I guess it's a good thing that the British lady isn't German, because my German earlier was pretty off. Wasn't
and
as good as my
prayers
Russian.
For our great friends Todd Saxon, Velvet, and Papa Stroh. And Dr.
No
John.
Doubt. I got to get a hold of Stroh and see if he wants to come in one evening just to take the edge off, because I haven't talked to him in probably about 2 weeks. So, you know, I'll try to get hold of him, see if he wants to come out, hang out. All right. Looks like I got internet. So.
Dang it, Dave. Let's
get that rich
lady bar. I don't know if I can recreate the British lady as well as I did before. I don't know. It's kind of scary now. If I don't live up to it, it's just going to smother it.
Yeah, you set the bar pretty high, young man. You are our ersatz British lady. So our EBL for short. You know how it is about having the anagrams for whatever is that, anachronisms or whatever it is. What the hell do they call that when they put the initials in there? You know how it is when you work in a place, everything's, yeah, well, did you do the ABC? What's ABC? Well, it's right beside DBM. Well, it's DBM. Ah, geez. Didn't you consult the CRC? What's the CRC? Especially you and your line of work, Tim. But
oh, God.
Anyhow, we got us a minute to go before I bleed into the next show, so I want to thank everybody for joining us here at Pop Culture Stars, Granny Tim. Much love to you guys. Thank you again for bailing me out this evening on the subject matter. And big happy birthday to the betrothed there, Tim. And I will talk to you all next week. And thank you again for joining us here at Pop Culture Stars, British Lady. Hang on, Tim. You're not here yet.
Interesting blog talk video. Goodbye.
You're gonna make her jealous, but I'm gonna tell you right now. You're gonna make her jealous. All right, so here we go. British lady.